Our children have more going on than ever before. So what are parents to do? Melissa in the Morning presents For the Kids, now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We have certainly covered a lot of different topics this week. This one probably the hardest for people, but it was one of the most requested, to be honest. When we decided to do For the Kids, it was to tackle some of the biggest challenges parents face in this time, in 2024. And a lot of you wanted to talk about the inevitable, which is death. Unfortunately, death happens to all of us, 100% of us. But how to deal with a loved one who passes suddenly, or even if they were sick for a long time. We, on average, are not that great at handling grief, and maybe we don't handle it in a healthy way. And then there are the children in our households. And when you look at national data, this is a prevalent topic, and I'm so glad that listeners brought this to my attention. When you look at some of the national data for this year, it says approximately 6 million U.S. children will experience death of a parent or sibling by the time they are 18 years old. It's a lot of kids. I mean, that's 1 in 12 U.S. kids who will experience that sort of a loss by the time they're 18. And that doesn't even include if you have grandparents who you're close to, dear friends, cousins. So how do we handle this as adults, and how do we then handle it for our children and help them to be able to face this in a healthy way? We have this morning Catherine Duncan, who is an integrative spiritual consultant. She's also a public speaker. She will frequently talk about a lot of different subjects, including loss and dealing with grief in a healthy way. And I'm excited to have her here this morning to help us and give us some advice on how to handle this appropriately. So thank you, Catherine, for your time and for joining us on WICC.
Thanks for having me on today.
So let's first talk about, do you agree that if adults can't handle grief properly or handle a loss properly, it's probably inevitable that our children don't know how to handle it?
Yes, we really are models for our children and how to grieve, because they learn so much from us. But I just, you know, I want to acknowledge grief. All of us having come out of the pandemic, all the world grief experts say we have all endured grief, and now we're living into a new normal.
How does grief impact the body for people who are listening, and maybe they have not gone through that tremendous loss, and God bless them if they haven't, but they don't know what grief can do to the human body. What can you tell us, Catherine?
I would say grief affects everyone differently. And also there's no one right way to grieve, but grief affects us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And so when I talk about physically, when you're going through grief, you might feel extra tired or having trouble sleeping, exhausted. Maybe you even feel tightness in your chest. I always share with people, if you have notable physical symptoms, I always need to go and check them out. But it does affect us physically. Emotionally, you often are sad. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you have guilt, regret, mood swings. That's normal. And mentally, you may, going through grief, have trouble remembering, staying on track, confusion, maybe you have some preoccupation. That's also normal. And then spiritually, some people, it's just a wide range. Some people really can lose a sense of meaning and faith and purpose. Other people, it might actually increase their sense of what it means to be here and alive on this earth.
And I do want to just know, again, as a somebody who works spiritually, my understanding is you actually have been trained in world religions and even people with no faith. I mean, I don't know if you can weigh in on this, but do you find that people who have faith in their lives, or they practice, you know, religion of any sorts, do you find that they handle grief better or handle loss better than people who don't believe in anything?
They do. My background is I'm actually an ordained minister, board certified chaplain. I worked for years as a chaplain at a level one trauma hospital and our hospice organization here in the Twin Cities. And And interestingly, what are the statistics? 80% of people that have some kind of faith, and that can vary greatly in how you even name what that faith is, but it gives you strength when you're going through crisis, health crisis, when you're going through grief. So yes, having some sense of groundedness, of sense, some sense of deep inner meaning, spiritual meaning, really does give people a sense of peace and ease in their heart for if they're going through a crisis or going through grief. Yes.
And I'm curious, Catherine, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, so feel free to say I don't feel I can answer that. But do you think then another topic that happened to have come up, but we, you know, can only cover so much in a week, was how do I introduce, you know, some sort of faith-based learning or religious practice to my child, especially if maybe in my background I didn't have, let's say, a great upbringing, or I'm scarred because I was forced to go to church, or I'm scarred because of what I went through in the synagogue, or whatever the case may be. That was also something that was brought up, which kind of ties into what you're saying. If we see that grief is handled in a healthier way, or that people have more concrete answers when they go through loss. Do you have suggestions as to how to integrate faith into your child's life if maybe you struggle with that as an adult?
Again, as I was saying, we model grief to our children. I think one key takeaway is telling your child the truth about what's happening when there's going to be a death, or there's a death, or there's, you know, going through real grief. That will increase their trust in you. And they learn, children learn from you as to how to grieve. So if you can grieve in a healthy way to let the feelings come out and acknowledge and be transparent with your child. But as far as meaning and faith, you know, I've worked with thousands of people as a chaplain and now in my private practice. And I speak about this in my new book, Everyday Awakening, that's out in the world. But just how can you find some sense of meaning and purpose? And with your child, can there be just an openness to experience that sense of just how can they find some joy, some peace, and just daily life together with each other? And exposing, I think, a child to a range of faith experiences, faith traditions, I think is lovely to help when you're raising your child.
You know, when you look at national statistics, 54% of people in the United States struggle to find grief resources. And this was actually a listener requested topic today, which is how do we better handle grief? And how do we explain losing a loved one to our children? So we have Catherine Duncan here, who is a spiritual consultant. She's a public speaker, an author. She addresses topics like this with people all over, both in person and virtually. And so, Catherine, I think we go to probably one of the most obvious questions. How do you suggest parents address death with their children without scaring them, if possible?
I want to start with, there's no perfect way for as adults to walk through grief and children and to comfort children. But I think what's really important is to talk with your child, acknowledge your feelings, see them, walk with them in the grief process. You know, starting ages 3 to 6 years old, kids don't understand death. They think it's temporary. They don't quite understand it. So it's not until 6, 7 years old on up that kids start to understand that death is permanent. And I think what's really important is to be able to see them, to empathize with them, to be able to soothe them, to help them even name what they're feeling, walk with them, know they're in a safe environment, and really be there for them in this process. And as adults, we, again, model how we grieve, but I think walking with and seeing them is really critical.
It's interesting you say that, Catherine. When I was looking at this report, which, by the way, is, you know, there are national statistics everywhere talking about this, but I'm on experience camps, which is specifically helping children across the nation who are dealing with loss. It says 57% of children who lost a parent during childhood report that support from family and friends waned after about 3 months of the loss, even though it took them an average of about 6 years to move forward in a healthy way. So would you also suggest in you know, in the aftermath of losing somebody, you create some kind of a support system, a village, if you will, who is not just there in the immediate, but continues to stay on top of making sure children are really okay. And if they're not okay, they have a safe place to feel and to grieve properly.
Absolutely. Very important. What helps both children and adults is identifying your support system, making sure that's really in place, expressing our feelings even little bits at a time. And with a child who's going through grief, if they can just like sense in what's happening, oh, I feel that too. And maybe you shake out that sadness or anger or let the tears come, just together expressing feelings, finding out, you know, what coping skills really help. Maybe it's grief education groups, a counselor, depending on the child and to the extent that they experience death of a loved one. I think rituals, celebrations to commemorate a loved one, and, you know, identifying, again, what really gives you strength, because every one of us, it's a choice, and especially as adults, it's a choice to how we're living our life, how we're finding that grounding, that deep peace, and that's part of the reason I wrote my book, Everyday Awakening, of steps like how can you find peace in your heart and soul every day.
It's interesting, and we're talking to Catherine Duncan. You had mentioned sticking with rituals, for example, or traditions. And my grandmother passed during the pandemic, and she lived with us when we were growing up. She was like a second mom to me, and it was hard. It was a hard loss. And my son, who is 5 now, you know, my grandmother's apartment, my parents decided to, you know, renovate it, make it new, more kind of Airbnb style. Nobody lives in there, but that's what they changed it all up, basically. It really doesn't look like her place. But my son can't go in there. It's been almost 4 years, and he can't go in there. And so I'm wondering, is, you know, what do you suggest for if the family, you know, wants to continue with traditions or wants to continue with things, you know, remembering that person, but a child is just not having it? How do you address that appropriately?
Again, I'd go back to the age of the child. If they're very young, there's a process in starting to even understand that death is final. But I think how old is your child?
He's going to be 6 in July.
6. So he's just at that cusp of starting to understand that death is final. And mm-hmm. just honoring, it's okay if he doesn't want to go in the room. I think as he gets a little older, he'll be able to, hopefully you can help walk with him, help him name what that feeling is or what's your sensation. See if you can just companion him, acknowledge that this is grief, this is normal, what are you feeling? Just as you walk alongside him, I think more will unfold. But right now at age 6, it's just starting to shift, where he's starting to understand that death actually is final. So that doesn't surprise me.
And I love you highlighted here before we started speaking the well-known 4s to parenting. This was written mm-hmm. by a UCLA professor, a psychiatrist, and author of many books, including The Whole Brain Child. And it looks at seen, safe, soothed, secure. I mean, is that, you know, I was going to ask when we talk about resources and people not knowing where to go, do you suggest that even if you don't have somebody who's, I guess, sick or older, you're not anticipating death is the best way I could put it. If you're in a place where you've got young children, you're not really anticipating loss, do you suggest people start to prepare by reading these types of books or introducing even children's literature to their kids?
I think it's a great idea, because the more as an adult and parent we know, we can share with our children. And Dan Siegel, UCLA professor, psychiatrist, author of many books, including The Whole Brain Child, which is a great book. His 4, you can Google this, 4 S's to parenting, highly recommend as a parent, and I use this with my children. But just, are you safe? Are you seen? Are you soothed? Are you secure? And the core of that is just, can you be empathetic with your child? Can you see their emotions? Can you walk with them and help them understand that emotions are safe, they're okay, and help them develop a sense of internal well-being? One other resource, and there's lots of books I could mention, for adults, David Kessler, fabulous. He's a grief expert. If you Google David Kessler, he has current workshops that are excellent. But for children, there's a great book called Be the Boss of Your Stress by Dr. Tim Colbert and Rebecca Kajander, but it's a guide. It's an easy guide. Like, how do you help your child identify a feeling and express it? So there's some great resources out there.
I am writing that down right now. Be the boss of your stress.
Yep. Excellent.
Okay. Perfect. And, you know, it actually, you kind of bring this full circle, Catherine, not that we planned it, but I think you address something really huge, which is if you want to be able to perform those four S's for your children, making sure they are seen, they feel safe, they are soothed, and they are secure. If anything, it absolutely solidifies that you need to be in a good space, that you need to be in a healthy space, that you're grieving properly so that you can then provide those four S's for your children, right? I mean, I think it just speaks to the importance of making sure that if mom and dad don't have, you know, the oxygen masks on, they can't put it on their child, essentially.
Yep, and that relates to being a parent. That relates to being sharing an adult relationship to the extent that we can experience love and grounding and peace is the extent that we can offer that as a parent, as a friend, as a coworker. And again, that was the impetus of my book, Everyday Awakening, my new book out nationwide. I have 42 exercises in this book. How do you find love in your heart? How do you find flow? How do you find peace? It starts with us first. And then that's how we can be even a better parent and friend and colleague. So I just invite people tuning in, you know, how are you living your life every day? And we can all find, even amidst hard, you know, messy life, and I know personally, professionally, what that means. It just, you can find some peace and ease in your heart, and it's a practice and it's a choice.
Mm-hmm. And Catherine, I just want to really quickly ask, because I absolutely wrote this down as well, where can people find your book?
Yes. My website, everydayawakening.com. I'm on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target. I'm all over. So,
okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Well, we love to be able to directly impact and support the authors who put their heart and soul and blood, sweat, and tears, everything into their books. So I'm going to give them your website, which is everydayawakening.com. And again, I want to thank you, Catherine, for addressing this topic, not just here on WICC, but with so many people, both in person and virtually, who inevitably struggle with things like stress and grief and loss. So I just want to thank you so much for what you do and for sharing it here on our platform.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Catherine Duncan again here on WICC.